Well, this is the last in several weeks of talking about making peace. And just a reminder to you and me of the last few weeks, we talked about making peace with ourselves. We talked about making peace with our neighbors. And the one you really love was making peace with your enemies. And then last week it was making peace with God. And this week I want to talk about God making peace with us. And that's a different side of the same coin. I want to ask you a question this morning to think about. When making peace after a war, who is expected to give up and give in the most? The victor or the loser? Right. Who pays the biggest price? The loser. That's been the case, I think, in probably any war that's ever happened in the history of humanity, that the loser has to pay more. The loser has the biggest price to pay. The loser gives up the most because they're the loser, right? I want to talk this morning about something that seems to be flip-flopped when it comes to losers and winners in Scripture. One of my favorite Old Testament passages is the one that was read this morning in Isaiah chapter 53. Actually, you can start in 52 and go on into 53. About a very extensive passage about this one that was going to come, the suffering servant, the one that was to come, that was going to give his life for humanity. And it's spelled out so beautifully, written 700 years or so before Jesus came on the scene in Bethlehem and following. And yet, how clearly we read about this one that was to come. Now, I want to look at the winner, so to speak, the sovereign, that is Jesus. He's the king, right? And then we, the loser, or in battles of old, they would call them the sovereign and the vassal. The sovereign being the winner, the king, the conquering kingdom. And then the vassal would be the one who is the one who has to typically pay the big price because they lost. Let's look at the sovereign first. That is, the winner. When you look at this text in the Old Testament in chapter 53, the one pictured here doesn't look like much of a winner, do they? Let me repeat some of these phrases for you. He was pierced for our transgressions. Crushed for our iniquities. Punished for our peace. His wounds brought our healing. Laid our iniquities on Him. He was stricken for us. And it says in that text, this was God's will. Now, if you didn't know the story, and most of you having grown up in the church, you kind of know the story. You know the story of Jesus. You know what He did for us. If you had never heard that story before, and I was to tell you this was the winner, you'd say, I'm nuts. Wouldn't you? This one here, the sovereign, the one that is the winner, is paying an awful price for whatever's going on here. Major price. And in what is shared in these verses, he's paying a major price for someone else. It looks like he's the loser. It looks like he's the loser. You go to the New Testament and we hear the story kind of play out for us. And you even got someone like Pilate saying, you know what, I've got the power to do what I want to do with you. What's Jesus say to that? No, you don't. God does. This is God's timing. This isn't your timing, Pilate. Lest you think you got more power than you do, this is God's will for me. What God wants to be done is going to get done, irrespective of what you do. Now, Pilate, decent guy, because he didn't want to crucify him, did he? Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. He said, I don't find any fault in this guy. I mean, I don't know why you want to crucify him, but the pressure of the people, and he finally went ahead with that, and Jesus was crucified. This was God's will. This was God's will. Not the Jews. I mean, here the Jews were. Yeah, they were yelling out. Of course, they were yelling a week earlier about, hallelujah, hallelujah, he's coming into town. And they were really, a lot of them anyway, were really excited, not the religious leaders, but a lot of them were excited about this one who was coming into town. But now, there are those who are all standing out in the crowds and they're all saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But this was God's will. This was God's will. Not anybody else's. When I look at this story up to that point, from a human standard, Jesus was a miserable failure. Up to this point. Would you not agree with me? You hate to say it because he wasn't a miserable failure. But up to this point in the story, when you look at everything that's been laid out for us in Isaiah chapter 53, and everything I laid out for you just thus far with Pilate, and this man can be crucified, he became a miserable failure. We know he wasn't. But that's what it looks like. So at this point, the sovereign, the king, that is the winner, looks like a loser. Let's go to the loser, the vassal, us. When you look at this same story in Isaiah chapter 53, when you look at the verses that were shared with us earlier in Philippians chapter 2, what it says here about us is we have allowed the king, the winner, to take, to pay for, to reconcile my sin. Better yet, accept that he paid for it. We give up sovereignty. That is, we deny ourselves. That if you look at really what has self brought so far anyway, not much. We become dependent, live for the sovereign. These are things that you should do if you are the vassal and there is the sovereign. But it says we pay nothing for reparations. You see, when the king won and the vassal lost, they had to pay the winning king, even though they lost. They pay. We pay nothing for our sin. Now, when I look at this, and I look at you and I as the vassal, we look more like a winner. Even though we're the loser. Who paid the most? Jesus did. The winner, who looked like the loser, he paid. And the loser looks like the winner because we didn't have to. That's not the way it's supposed to go when you have a war and one wins and the other loses. It should be us that pay. But he paid. So the loser looks like the winner. The winner looks like a loser. And this looks a little confusing, but it's not, because we know the whole story. And we know why he did what he did. When I look at this story, Christ made the loser a winner. Isn't that awesome? Christ made the loser a winner. So maybe with pride, you and I ought to wear the banner. I'm a loser. Outside of Christ, I'm a loser. But in Christ, I'm a winner. Christ made the loser a winner. He became the loser for us. I want to read one short verse in Galatians that I think kind of spells it out for us pretty clearly in just this one verse. Galatians 3:13, here's what it says. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's harsh, isn't it? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He became the loser for us. Galatians 3:13. And then, as you and I know the story of Christ on the cross and the seven last statements of Christ on the cross, he may have said more than this, but these are the statements that were recorded by the disciples that were around him. In that one statement, my God, why have you forsaken me? God forsook him when he took our sin on himself. God couldn't look at his son when he took our sin upon himself. You see, he very much on the cross looked like a loser. He was crucified by human beings who said he shouldn't have been who he said he was. He's not who he said he was, and Christ indeed was who he said he was. But God turned away at that point in time. In a sense, even at that point in time, Christ, who was the king, looked like the loser, and God turned away from him. But then the amazing thing happened after he died on the cross and he was laid in the tomb. Once peace was made, that's when we all became winners. Once peace was made, peace with God. Because you see, God can't have communion with us as sin-stained human beings without that somehow being taken care of. I can't do it myself. Try as you may, folks, to be as good as you think you could possibly be. Let me remind you again, you're a loser. And so am I. But in Christ, all of us losers, this is the only time I'll probably call you a loser, by the way, because I don't think that's a very nice thing to say to someone. But I say it because that loser is temporary. When Christ made peace on the cross at Calvary, all of us, if we would accept it, aren't losers anymore. We're winners. And all the things that a king does and all the things that the vassal or the losing kingdom would have to do, it's amazing that that king did all those things that I should have had to do because I'm the loser and he did them for me. And I'm a winner. And you're a winner. And you and I, he says, as believers in Jesus Christ, we rule with him. And yet we paid nothing. And he paid everything. Isn't that cool? The only thing I can say to us after something like that is God indeed made peace with us. Be grateful and live for him. I will tell you, I still have, as recently as just a few days ago, had someone come in to the office and said they were irredeemable because they thought, as the loser, they had a lot to pay and they couldn't pay enough. And I said, you are absolutely redeemable because you don't have to pay anything. He paid it for you. And I know people in the church that still get it wrong. And they're still trying to live their life as if I've got to obtain a certain level of righteousness or God will never take me. It's like, that's not why we do that. We do that out of gratitude. When someone asks me, then why do you live if it's already paid for? It's like, you know, you got the brand new whatever, it's already paid for, then why are you still working for it? I'm not working for it. I'm grateful that he paid for it. So I am honoring him. I want to glorify him. I am grateful to him. Just like we ought to be. If anyone gave you a tremendously wonderful gift, wouldn't you be grateful to that person for giving it to you? You don't do good to earn it. It's already been paid for. And so here, folks, God making peace with us, I want you to understand the correct understanding of what he did. You can never pay for it. And you'll never be good enough. Because you and I are losers. But in Christ, we just became winners. And by the way, Unisig won the state championship basketball game, by the way. I'm a Uper, and it was kind of nice having a team up there when the, I think it was Division Four, wasn't it? Anyway, I'm sorry. Well, when Mackinac can't do it, someone else has to. So anyway, just wanted to go there. Folks, you get it, don't you? I hope you do this morning. I hope you get it. You're a winner now. I won't call you a loser anymore. All right? Let's pray. God, there's a lot of twisted views out there about what your word really says. There are some people that tend to lead us to believe that you've got to have all your ducks in a row before you can even come to the Lord. And you say, no, come just as we are to you. You take us just as we are. You pay for our sin, all of our shortcomings, all of our sin-stained past, present, and future. It's already paid for. And you said, just accept that it's been paid in full. And because I paid it in full and paid for your sin, would you live for me? So God, I pray this morning that everyone here who has embraced that truth lives for you out of gratitude for what you've done for us. Because it's already been paid for. We will be celebrating this in the next 2 weeks, and we're grateful for that. Thank you in the precious and holy and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.